This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, November 2nd. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, a look at blogs and how they're affecting East Central Illinois politics. We'll also get a look at our forecast from meteorologist Ed Keyser. First, a look at today's news. The Champaign City Council will decide if the proposed site of an ethanol plant will become part of the city. Yesterday, the city's planning commission voted to send the annexation agreement on with their approval. The Andersons is considering the far northwest side site as the home of a 110 million gallon ethanol plant. They're also eyeing sites in Indiana and Ohio. Some of the plant's potential neighbors are worried that the plant would siphon off too much groundwater. The annexation would only take place if the Andersons decides to build there. Champaign City leaders, meanwhile, say population growth on the north and west sides of towns have prompted a special census for next year. The city has gained an estimated 5,400 residents since the last census in 2000. Some people moving into new homes in the Ashland Park subdivision, while others in southwest Champaign were recently annexed into the city. Champaign should receive about $400,000 in state motor fuel and income tax funds, along with grant funds for the city's library, as a result. In mid-January, enumerators will be sent to those neighborhoods to conduct interviews with residents, and the project administrator, Eric Kateva, says they'll be brief.
It's not like a decennial census where you're asked 20 to 30 questions, and actually some of it's pretty sensitive information like your income. That kind of information is not going to be gathered now. It's primarily just population, gender information, how many people are in the household, and that's about it.
The special census will not increase taxes for city residents. Kateva says the city is seeking temporary workers to serve as enumerators for 3 to 4 weeks. School teachers in the Hoopston area district have ratified a new 3-year contract. Talks dragged on well past last August's expiration of the last contract, and the union was discussing whether to take a strike vote when a 12-hour bargaining session Monday night yielded a tentative agreement. Hoopston Education Association spokeswoman Chris Newman won't discuss the details of the contract for 102 teachers and support staff. She says she'll hold off until school board members vote on it next Thursday. A freshly selected jury of 7 men and 5 women will begin hearing opening statements today in the murder trial of a woman accused of drowning her 3 children. Jury selection for Amanda Hamm's trial wrapped up yesterday in Decatur after 7 days. Hamm is accused of killing 6-year-old Christopher Hamm, 3-year-old Austin Brown, and 23-month-old Kylie Hamm. They died after the car they were in rolled off a boat ramp and sank into Clinton Lake in 2003. Hamm's former boyfriend, Maurice LeGrone Jr., was convicted in the deaths in April and is serving a life sentence. Pharmacies in Champaign County are now telling women that they have complete access to emergency contraception with a prescription. Signs have gone up in all Illinois pharmacies that stock any other sort of contraception besides EC, which is meant to be taken within 120 hours of intercourse. A new state law requiring the signage does not cover drugstores that offer no contraceptives at all, such as the pharmacies at Catholic-operated hospitals. Allison Jones is with the Campaign for Access to Emergency Contraception, which has been monitoring the law. She says soon women will be able to get the drug simply by asking a pharmacist.
They had to do a little redesigning of the package in order to make it available over the counter. So I believe actually they're shipping that out in the next day or two. And then it takes a couple days for it to get to the pharmacies, a couple days for it to, settle in. And so I believe sometime within the next month it will be available over the counter for women 18 and older.
The head of the state's Department of Financial and Professional Regulation, Dean Martinez, says aside from a few miscommunications, pharmacies across Illinois have cooperated in putting up those signs. A mummified bird from ancient Egypt has been identified with the help of some new technology at the University of Illinois. What was originally thought to be a hawk is a potential donation to the U of I's Spurlock Museum. On Wednesday, the museum turned to the university's veterinary teaching hospital to get a look beneath the mummy wrappings. Imaging specialist Susan Hartman says equipment used for seeing the bird has been in place for about a week.
It is digital radiography, which is called DR, and basically allows us to take an exposure, and within 4 seconds that image comes up on a computer screen so we can evaluate the image for quality, decide if we're going to keep that image or retake it, which prevents us from having to go into a processing device and actually run an X-ray film.
The digital photos and a CT scan showed the mummified bird was actually a falcon. A U of I alumnus who lived in the Middle East recently turned it over to the Spurlock. The alum will now decide whether the falcon becomes a permanent exhibit. It's believed it's dated from Egypt's late period, around 656 BC. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Society is still trying to figure out what place the internet has in our political life. In eastern Illinois, candidates and political watchers are taking to weblogs either to get their messages out or to hear what like-minded or opposite-minded people have to say. But is the buzz from blogs percolating out into the general public? And do they add to the political discourse or lower it? There aren't many more people more deeply embedded in Champaign County Republican politics than Clerk Mark Sheldon. But even he says he didn't realize the impact of the blog until earlier this year.
I had somebody in the media actually say to me, some people think you're Illini pundit. I'm like, who's Illini pundit? And I did not know about it at first. And after the municipal elections in 2005, I started reading it fairly regularly.
Sheldon quickly went from frequent reader to regular contributor for Illini Pundit, whose anonymous founder quit and left the blog up to about 20 approved posters. Its slant is unabashedly conservative. Posts this week include a review of the News Gazette's endorsement of GOP Senate candidate Judy Myers, a cartoon lampooning the Democrats' election hopes, and word of a forum on a tax referendum. Illini Pundit is a daily feed of local inside gossip for political junkies. And Mark Sheldon is second in the number of posts, only to the blog's lead maintainer, who declined an interview for this story.
It's a way for various writers to get opinions out there, so there's definitely some opinion. Sometimes it's a way just to get some news out there. Sometimes news that may or may not be in the mainstream media.
Illini Pundit may be stridently right of center, but it's attracted a readership beyond one side of the political spectrum. Sheldon says comments after each post often include contrarian viewpoints and even a Democratic office holder or two. One Democrat, County Board candidate Matthew Gladney, calls Illini Pundit the local standard bearer for political blog sites, if only by default. So why isn't there an equal of Illini Pundit governed by the left? Gladney offers a possible explanation.
You know, Democrats have been becoming more into power, so I think Republicans might feel like they're, you know, at least politically, the minority at the moment, and I think that kind of bonds them together. Just sort of at the national level, you've seen Democrats trying to come together more.
Gladney blogs about political and social issues on his own site called It's Matt's World, and like most traditional blogs, he's the only one with posting rights. A site that allows the general public to post is operated by Urbana's Independent Media Center. David Gehrig maintains it.
So you've got this spectrum that goes from sort of center-left through Labor Democrat, through Green Party, through various red parties, and then some parties that, as far as I can tell, sort of come from the planet Jupiter.
But Gehrig says the IMC site has not become a direct balance to Illini Pundit because of its structure.
It's not really an inside baseball kind of site where people talk about, well, here's what's going on in this particular race. There are sometimes people will have strong opinions and they will address them that they're associated with a certain given campaign or some kind of contest. But that's not really the area that I think that we're most useful at.
University of Illinois political science professor Brian Gaines has been watching how blogs are changing the local landscape politically. He says they run the risk of becoming echo chambers if their main readers remain of a single political bent.
The right talks to the right and the left talks to the left. And to some extent, they first of all, breed a kind of self-deception. The sort of people who think, how could George Bush possibly have won this election? Everybody I know voted against him. And everybody I talked to online voted against him. And, you know, not realizing there's another community out there, a bunch of people, everybody they talked to voted for him.
Gaines says sites like Illini Pundit and the IMC have been the source of stories that eventually bubble out into the mainstream media and get the attention of swing voters and the rest of the general public. In that way, he says blogs that get both the right and the left together for the sake of argument can work. But that argument sometimes descends into name-calling in comment sections, something that Mark Sheldon says is a natural hazard of blogging.
The level of civility could certainly go up everywhere in society. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I'm not sure how you do it effectively on Illini Pundit, because we also don't want to engage in heavy-handed censorship.
Blogs also rely on a self-correcting system of fact-checking. It's up to other readers to vet someone else's post. It's an imperfect situation that might change for the better over time, as do many things on the cutting edge. Aside from a chance of a couple of scattered snow showers in far northern Indiana, the weather forecast looks precipitation-free for the two states for the next few days. Today in the north, a mix of clouds and sun, a few scattered snow showers in far northern Indiana. In central and southern sections, though, mostly sunny and breezy. The highs today only from 38 in the far north to around 50 in the south. Tonight, generally clear and cold, lows from 15 in northwest Illinois to 25 in the south. Then our meteorologist Ed Kieser says tomorrow should be mostly sunny all around, the highs ranging from around 40 in the far north to 53 in southwest Illinois. Looking ahead to the weekend, Saturday should be partly sunny with a chance of scattered sprinkles in the north, then a mix of clouds and sun on Sunday, with Saturday's highs ranging from the 40s north to 50s south and the upper 40s north on Sunday to the 50s elsewhere during the last day of the weekend. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, November 7th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.